plays with the French flip curls and perfume magazines. Wear it up, let it down. This is the best way that I've found to be the best you've ever seen. I put on some makeup and turn up the 8-track. I'm pulling the wig down from the shelf.
You're listening to KBOO, KBOO, Portland, 90.7 FM. We just heard Preference with Hedda and special guest Kai. And next up is Calculated Conversation with David and Ken.
KBOO's programming charter. KBOO should be a model of programming, filling needs that other media do not, providing programming to unserved or underserved groups. KBOO shall provide access and training to those communities. KBOO news and public affairs programming shall place an emphasis on providing a forum for unpopular, controversial, or neglected perspectives on important local, national, and international issues, reflecting KBOO's values of peace, justice, democracy, human rights, multiculturalism, environmentalism, freedom of expression, and social change. KBOO's arts, cultural, and musical programming shall cover a wide spectrum of expression from traditional to experimental, and reflect the diverse cultures we serve. KBOO shall strive for spontaneity and programming excellence, both in content and technique.
KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland, Oregon, bridging the gap between prisons, prisoners, and the community. This is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
And now I'm living in correctional facilities, cause some don't agree with how I do this. I get straight and meditate like a Buddhist. I'm dropping flavor, my behavior is hereditary, but my technique is very necessary. Blame it on Ice Cube, because he said it get funky when you got a subject and a predicate. Add it on a dope beat and it'll make you think. Some suckers just tickle me pink to my stomach, cause they don't flow like this one. You know what, I won't hesitate to diss one or two before I'm through, so don't try to sing this. Some drop science, well I'm dropping English. Even if Yella makes it a cappella, I still express you, I don't smoke weed or sets, cause it's known to give a brother brain damage. And brain damage on the mic don't manage nothing but making a sucker in you equal. Don't be another sequel.
Spread yourself.
The pop chart. So where should a brother like you start expressing yourself, my boy, and show you how your track.
What up?
Drop English right about now.
Yes, yes, yes. It's a wonderful Tuesday. You're back with the wonderful Calculated Conversation radio show. Your host David and Ken is back in the building.
Yeah,
and we got a special guest in the house. We're gonna bring in a little bit after we do our weekly checkup. What's going on, my brother?
Oh, not too much. Good old summer running through here.
Oh, yeah.
Anything in particular, success-wise, as far as energy challenges?
Nothing too wild. It's been a slow flow. Oh, nice. I kept it in the house and kept it basic over this past.
Oh, that's cool. I like to never get tested. That sounds nice.
Hey, yeah, yeah. I sat in. I've been trying to create a outline for a course, and so spending a lot of my time kind of researching, just making sure I got stuff set up for kind of going through this and trying to see how it can play and also make it to where it's scalable. So trying to get all that stuff done up front. So that's where a lot of my time and energy was spent.
Man, that's cool. Okay.
Yeah. What about you?
Just staying busy, you know, moving forward and just continuing to show up and be present, man.
Right,
you know, just enjoy where we at and what we got opportunities of doing, you know. Having fun, bro.
Yeah.
I really am enjoying myself, man. I'm just going to keep, you know, keep my mind on the same plane and, like, all the good things is happening to me, man. I ain't mad at all.
It's continuing to build.
Yeah. So I'm grateful for that, you know, just for the awareness and whatnot. So, but, yeah, we don't want to kind of delay too long. We want to get my guy Jason Turner. We got him in the building right now. Oh, I'm Nelson. Sorry. Jason Nelson in the building. My bad there. And I met Jason at a kind of an African American providers event a few weeks ago, you know, and I was just kind of blown away, you know, by his craftiness and his words and his philosophies and how he broke down, you know, normal subjects in a profound way and from a different perspective, man. You know, something that we all need to hear, something I thought was very calculated, you know, that made a lot of sense. And it's important for, you know, more people to get a chance to, you know, just to dive into that and hear what that's about, you know.
Is this a regular event?
It happens every once a month, I think, you know. Okay. And it's pretty cool because we get to meet each other and network, you know, all people that work with certain organizations and nonprofits and for-profits, you know, to try to figure out what we gonna do to, you know, support the Black community, and a lot of the disparities that we go through as people trying to get to the next level and get past certain hurdles, and we want to just see where we can boost people at.
Okay.
So we sit and talk and we connect, and you know, and then, you know, and me, my sneaky self, I'm in there listening, like, who can I bring to the show? You know what I'm saying? And I heard Jason talk, man. I was like, there we go. So I was really blown away.
I knew something happened when that text came through.
Yeah.
So that info came out. I was like, okay, yeah, let's get it together.
Yeah, so, you know, before I let you start, I'll just say that, you know, Jason, you're a part of a company called Mind Solutions.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit, like, about what that is or how it started?
Well, let me first just say thank you for having me on your show, both of you, Ken and David. It's an honor because I've been looking for an opportunity to really express through the airwaves. It meets the masses, and we can get a lot done that way and just start sparking and cultivating and bringing the harvest exactly what we like to yield from the work that we do. I have to give honor to my Savior, of course. First and foremost, let my words be filling to the masses as I continue to go through this journey. But most importantly, my solutions, as it stands, I have to bring in the bigger half of why the agency even exists.
Of course.
Okay, so if I can just hand that over so that the CEO, Jermaine Mason, can probably give some detail of how this came to fruition and moving like it's moving, and then he can just pass that back to me, and then we can go into
that's perfect.
My structured role.
Right. That's perfect. So Jermaine Mason, right?
Yes.
Right. And you created Mind Solutions, am I right?
That is correct.
Okay, that's dope, man. I like the whole idea of it. The people don't know what it is yet, so you want to bring them up to date?
Yeah, so we're a mental health and addiction clinic. We pretty much focus on restoring the family. Mm-hmm. So what that means is, you know, children, you know, sometimes get therapy, but they end up going back home and their parents are not taught the skills that they need to be able to parent those children.
Mm-hmm.
So we're bridging the gap there. And we're also, mentoring and also seeing the adults as well, to where, the family structure is so important, you know, in the community that, you know, we look at it now and it's just it's just not the way that it used to be. Mm. You know, two parent households, you know, a mother and a father in the household, you know, everyone holding each other down, everyone being accountable, neighborhoods. You know, I remember I grew up in a neighborhood where your next door neighbor could whoop you, down the street, if she seen you acting up, can whoop you. You know, nowadays, you know, you don't know who your next door neighbor is. You don't know what's going on down the street. So we wanted to create something that was a community-based organization that people will feel safe, they will feel love there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, really, we all searching for inner peace. Mm-hmm. So that's what I, you know, want to create for everyone. And then Jason, you know, me and him are childhood friends. So, you know, me and him, you know, talk frequently all the time about, you know, doing something and putting something together. And this was just a great opportunity and a great time to do something. So,
yeah. And then real quick, man, I just want to say that, you know, we kind of grew up together, me and you.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, not quite in the same neighborhood, but in the same area.
Right.
You know, and I think it's amazing to see where you come from and where you at, you know, your commitment to, you know, bringing that knowledge back and that awareness and uplifting the community. Because where we come from, I feel like they don't expect us to get to this level and reach back the way that we do. And I think it's very important that people understand that, you know, we some of the people from some of the roughest environments and the roughest mindsets and you know, mental cults, I feel like, and coming up out of that and realizing, seeing the trap and then going back. I just want to commend you on that, bro, because I've known you for a minute. So.
Well, thanks, Ben. I appreciate it. And I've also watched your evolution.
Right.
You know, it's amazing, man, when you when you grow up with people and, you know, if you see them, you know, 4 or 5 years later and they moving and shaking and they helping people out, man, and they shaking hands and making friends and doing really positive things around the neighborhood. And that's what it's really all about. It's really all about showing people what you've been shown.
Right.
You know, and giving people that gift to be able to navigate through this world.
Absolutely, so, man. Absolutely. So I don't want to keep the mic from Jason too long.
Nah, he can go on for about 2 hours.
So I know.
Give him all the time he needs.
I'm gonna take my headphones off. No. What's up, Jace?
Hey, how you doing, sir?
Good.
So I just want to just give a public declaration of my respect for Jermaine. Like he said, we come from the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, our influences as far as the culture is concerned, come from the same base.
Right.
He took it in a different stride than I did, but at the same time, choices are choices, right? Mm. But my solutions, right, is what, when you start thinking about the mechanics of thinking, making choices, and sticking decisions, not sticking to the decision, but decisions, you can make it and you don't want it to stick, but it's there anyway.
Yeah, of course.
You see, you can't pull it off. You can't get it off you with bleach, man.
Right.
Because, you know, a squeaky clean life, I don't know who has one, but some dirt we just don't want to have. And what my solutions is trying to intervene on those types of life, you know, hurdles and stereotypes and possibly injuries that people will accumulate from making bad decisions.
Right.
And bad decisions meaning people who are not informed.
Right.
Okay, bad is not bad, in my opinion, until you're informed, like we discussed before.
Right.
I just think you can't be wrong if you don't have the information to do the right thing.
Exactly.
So what my solutions is getting in front of is that very thing, is becoming more informative when it comes to the structure of the family.
Right.
And see, like Jermaine also mentioned, was my solutions is targeting the youth of the family.
Right.
There's an old African proverb, if you will just give me this space, is to say that when someone comes to a village, right, and they greet the parents, right, they don't ask the parents how they're doing, they ask the parents how are the children. Because if the children are okay, all is okay.
Right.
Because they are the most influenced in any structure of the family, any process of the family.
Right.
The children, we know, you know, are most impacted. So what I look at, and I believe Jermaine, he can vouch for this, is the fact that if we start with the youth, right, and not delaying there or tarrying at all, inviting the parents in, because parents seem to have disconnected, and a lot of my you know, looking into the matter of the family, I see that families have given independence to their children far too early, you know, where there is a lot of social influence and cultural influence that might steer them in a direction that can land them in some very unfavorable positions.
Right.
So I like to think, and I do believe, that children, you know, want to be loved, listened to, and not left alone.
Right.
So, in my endeavor is to make sure that when I come into encounters with children or even adults who may have yet this childlike
approach to life, meaning that they don't have the information or the mature information to move higher in the expectations of the world. Right. When you're at a certain age, you expect to have this or that and another thing, right? And so we want to make sure that we can realign individuals that are in adulthood with that mindset or with that love, right?
Right.
And to listen to what they have to say, and with our abilities and credentials and math from academics, maybe we can start bringing the right solution, you know, by through the formula, of course. And the formula is being team players, okay? Right. The concept that we want to really lead with is the team concept. And so, and Jermaine has been very adamant about reminding us that this is a team.
Right.
This is a place where, you know, if you was chosen to work here, then you was chosen because you have the qualifications to lead us into that area of victory.
Of course.
And when we deal with individuals coming in that need some service. And so, and those people eventually, as our mindset as well, will become family as well. Because if you're around somebody long enough, they're gonna rub off on you.
Right.
You see, and in that, we wanna do it all outside of systemic processings. We wanna become family, be more intimate.
Right.
And so we wanna have that approach, because we know in that there's a longevity for surviving in the new choices in life. We know the old guy never disappear. You know, never disappear.
Of course.
So we want to make sure that we always keep the old guy reminded that the new guy is here to stay. Mm. And how we do that is not to become disconnected with the people we do build these relationships with. Right? There needs to be follow-ups. There needs to be, you know, a sincere follow-up, not just how you doing. You know, hang up too soon. I'm just, you know, I'm checking in on you for real.
Right.
You know, there's a word that I used to study in Swahili, and it's hujambo versus jambo. Jambo is a simple hello. Hujambo is asking you, how are you actually doing? You see, so we want to take the hujambo approach, and we're going to get into that when we talk about cultural responsivity, because I also don't want to be so in one area to say that this is all what we're talking about, because I'm using the language of Swahili. I'm not directing this strictly to the black cause, because, and I'll save that for then, but my solutions, I stepped in with Jermaine from the conception. So him and I, basically, he's the leading parent on this. I'm the godfather.
Okay,
just put it that way. Not godfather in the sense of anything criminal, but as in someone who has been given rights to somehow be a parent to this child.
Absolutely.
That we are raising right now. Right,
a huge influence.
Absolutely.
That's great, man. I mean, all that, you know, the philosophies is just important, man. I'm just glad you're here to break it all down. I can say that one thing that I do appreciate about your program and what you guys do, the family aspect of it, because to reprogram and, you know, to challenge our idea and definition of what family is and what we were taught is extremely important in order for us to grow and kind of sin into that level of awareness and true family love.
Oh yeah.
And support, you know?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And so and being able to challenge that, you know, in a productive way, which is what you guys are doing, you know, I think is clutch, cuz I don't really see a lot of people focus on that aspect of supporting people. Mm-hmm. It seemed like to be, you know, always more like what you need to do for yourself, what you need to do for yourself, what you need to do for you. It's for you. When you talk about what you're doing this for you and your family, you know, it's a bigger cause, a bigger responsibility, you know, and, you know, a bigger reason to be successful overall and change the total, you know, tradition, you know, of what they used to consider family and love, you know, and harmony. So, and correct me if I'm wrong, man, you know, but I got this idea that, and you talk about the youth, you know, and I think that's extremely, extremely important. I think at times we forget about how important it is, you know, to support the youth, you know, in a true education, in a true growth, as opposed from, you know, cultural trends and, you know, social trends and things like that. Because I'm of the opinion that probably, and I'm thinking Ken is going to agree with me, but I'm thinking that one of the most hardest things, or one of the most important strategic things or tasks you could have on hand is raising a young black boy in this country.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
I think that's a lot of responsibility that may probably is not being taken as serious as it's supposed to be.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I feel like your organization is going in that direction of challenging all that, you know what I mean, right. Which I do appreciate.
Well, I want to speak to that because I think, you know, I'm a champion with Jermaine Mason on what he really keeps in the forefront of the providers. I am a provider. You know, I went to college when I got out and went and took care of that piece of business and got my credentials and certifications, got my degrees. You know, like I said, I was going to do. It wasn't an easy road, but most importantly is that we want to be sure that we don't miss the mark on understanding the community. Mm-hmm. Okay, there's a lot of bigger Thomases. If you ever read Richard Wright's book, The Native Son, there's a lot of times we find ourselves under such a pressure, and we kill off some of the most precious things around us. Okay, so one thing is one of my mentors told me. He said, "I mean, we all great." You know, we all have a greatness, but you can put a prize fighter in the ring too early and kill him off.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Right. And you know, and I really believe that. And see, now is the time to really become emotional about what's been happening to all boys in this community, as it has turned. This community is very diversified right now, and I, you know, we can talk about diversity. You know, because I don't believe diversity is, you know, exclusive to pink and purple hair. I think we need to define it a little bit differently, or act as though we know it means something different. Because I absolutely believe that we have settled for the what's being exercised as cultural diversity. And you know, I'm not going to go too far into the science of it, but I guarantee you these conversations are being had. It's just not on the political stand. You see, and we need to be honest with ourselves to say that, yes, there are some underrepresented people in our communities, and we know who they are because we see those who are more disenfranchised, you see. But I wanna be selfish about me as a young black man, okay? And I wanna be selfish because selfishness gets a bad rap, and I wanna redefine selfishness in the way that I wanna redefine it, okay? So where my selfishness has to be for the human family, because no matter how hard we try to divide, we still together. Mm-hmm. As long as you calling yourself a human, you still got to deal with other people from different demographics and other life experiences. But the young black male is—he's been on the target for a long time, right. and what that looks like, at least it looked like for me, was misinformation. Cool. So when I got a hold of the right information, I had to be, you know, very strategic about how I applied it to my life, because I was a very angry young man. So you know that if you don't deal with things as a child or get certain things settled in your life that has brought some challenges and some adversity, you will be introduced to destruction, you know, or self-destruction, you know, because now as we hear in our country, you know, stand your ground kind of thing, you know, so people are very bold in the way of destroying things that fear them.
Right.
So, and if you fear yourself, you might even do the same.
Exactly.
Okay. You don't fear power, you fear weakness. See, weakness is confusing because you might believe that you should be strong because you got hair on your face, you tall, your stride is long, you know, you're a man now, at least what you define as a man, or I would define as a man, but you're yet that little boy. And a lot of black men in that case have not allowed themselves, or the system that they're brought up in has not allowed them to grow in respects to that age group. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm still 13 at 40.
Exactly.
You know, there's something wrong with that. I think Muhammad Ali had recited some things about if you 50 and you acting like when you was 20, you wasted 30 years of life. Right. I might have the math on that right, but I know the point he was making was the fact that we can waste a lot of time, and a lot of time has been wasted. So can we get a little bit more selfish about our time and about our children, right. You know, and really protect them with information, because they're going to go out. We need to see. I seen Jermaine the other day actually brought his son in to his business and began to show him in his interactions with other business associates. Mm-hmm. And he began to explain to his son First asking him what did he see, and then explaining to him what he's seen if he did not, you know, respond with the information he was looking for.
Right.
And so this is what we're talking about, rearing young black children, but more or less just rearing young men, okay? Because if we start looking at ourselves first in our identity, you know, not black being second, because you don't have to argue that I'm black.
Right.
But trust me, you're going to argue about whether or not you're a man.
Right.
Because there's a certain behavior that comes with being a man. There's certain responsibilities that come with being a man. And not to say men don't go through adverse situations,
right?
But again, I was explaining to Jermaine, we was having a conversation, his brother is real heavy in his wisdom, is saying that, you know, I just shared that, and, you know, adversity will introduce a man to himself.
Right.
You know?
Absolutely.
You will know in your times of challenge what kind of man you are.
Right.
You know, are you going to give in? This doesn't mean that we're talking about you going to somehow, you know, be this prosperous individual financially or materialistically, but you may be very prosperous, which is a greater wealth in your awakening.
Right.
You see, so we know that there's more wealth in knowledge, in knowing who you are, in placing your identity proper. Okay? A proper identity first is, am I a man?
Right.
And then when I am a man, and I know this by, you know, there's evidence, okay, then guess what? You want to talk about being a black man? Yeah, let's do that. Because I'm assimilated in the beginning if I'm influenced by social, you know, media, if I'm influenced by social, you know, communities that are wayward in what they do.
Yeah. Emotional.
Yeah. The emotional turbulence is really it's a whirlwind that we just don't want to get caught up in. I was caught up in it, man.
Right.
And I'm glad that I've found some distance from the wind, but I yet feel it blowing.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. That was a way to put that. Yeah. Running off that now, just. Because I was going a bit earlier, just, you know, wanting to kind of touch back, and then I'm going to jump into something that I wanted to get your way. But the idea of this being kind of set up in the family tip, right? Mm-hmm. And understanding the importance of that as opposed to just talking to the parents about how to do something, mm-hmm. or just talking to the kids, and there's still a gap that's in there,
mm-hmm.
because you're given the tools here and you're not talking on this side, you know what I mean? But if each person along that step has the tools, then they can work together.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I just think that's crazy, though.
Mm-hmm.
That's something, again, you don't hear. You're just, usually it's the child
yeah.
or the parent.
Right.
But
right.
you're having that kind of
you
come together. Yeah. And teaching how to work together, that's just being able to build. And then that gets passed on. Like, that structure and that is wild. Like, all the way back. And then coming into what you're saying, you know what I mean? Like, and I think this is what we come from, is this idea, this ideology we have of being men, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
it's attached to a lot of the wrong stuff as far as once you come of age and start to realize what actually matters, right?
Most definitely.
And trying to unwind that,
mm-hmm.
right? You talk about going through that emotional whatever, mm-hmm. because it's uprooting what you know, your base, what you've founded, your personality,
mm-hmm.
you know, everything you got going mm-hmm. in this world right here.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you start seeing, like, almost it's like you're losing a part of your identity.
Yes.
Coming into that next phase,
mm-hmm.
right? And struggling through that, but having that look in the mirror first, like you said before, adding all the extras, am I a man?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that just being the foundation. We can strap everything onto it after that, but right here. And I think if people actually took the time to really sit and look in the mirror and
right.
and go through that and really, you know, how are they responding? How are we responding to these different type of adversities,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right?
And one of the things that just had popped up, you know, in the head was the idea of you thinking that strength comes from just being nonchalant about everything. Whatever mm-hmm. comes your way,
right.
you're just indifferent to it,
mm-hmm.
right? And understanding that you're building up something that's got to get out somewhere, some way, right? And that's usually what we see as teenagers, early 20-somethings, all this stuff we've been taught, you know, man up, be mm-hmm. this, be this, be this. And the man up, again, is just mm-hmm. being tough, right? Who can press a line the hardest? That's typically what it is.
Right.
And
yeah.
you get going in that, and then you realize that it's a different type of person. And I talk about this person, right? We all been mad or something. Call customer service, we're going back and forth, and it's a man or a woman on the phone that brings you from 10 back to 1,
mm-hmm.
and you almost feel bad for even having the attitude to jump off with, right?
Yeah.
And that's a person right there that has this understanding. Mm-hmm. And I know those type of people in life. And I think that those are the people I look to, mm-hmm. the ability to be calm, right. you know, in right, these situations right. and to be able to talk through something, because it's easy for the aggression and so on. Right. I know that's, you know, probably for myself and many of us, the struggle that was there for so long is how do I get it out of here? Right. Because I can do it here,
right,
but
right.
trying to get it out of this mouth and make this work out to where we can walk away from here and still be on amicable terms. Mm. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
I think that's a lot of that's the issue with a lot of men, black men especially, right. is the anger.
Right.
You know, to be able to control your anger and to be able to have a level head, mm-hmm. is the most important thing that you can possibly have. The anger messes up relationships before they even begin.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, people can see you coming before you even there.
Right. Right.
You know, and it's very important that we show our kids what it is to be a man, to be able to provide for your family the right way. A lot of kids are out here, you know, living wrong and doing certain things because there is no man in the household.
Right.
You know, you have a woman that is forced to play a dual role of, you know, she's trying to compensate because there's not a man in the household. So now, you know, her exterior is turning hard, right. just like a man.
Exactly.
You know, and really, you know, a woman's attributes, yeah. and is very important to a child, right. you know, for that woman to be a woman,
right.
and not to take on the role of a man.
Right.
And so when you have that, you know, you have a lot of kids running around here without a father figure. So they're running around here searching for it. They're looking for it in all the wrong places. And,
right.
you know, when a kid has too much time on their hands, what ends up happening? So,
right.
It's, mm-hmm. I mean, it's just, it's so important for us to look at each other and to love each other and to respect each other. And,
yeah.
you know, there's a lot of programs, a lot of mentoring programs out here, and there's a lot of things, you know, Boys and Girls Clubs and things like that. But the most important thing that you can do is to be there for your kids.
Right.
You know, you don't have to send your kid to a mentor if both of the, you know, the parents are in the household.
Right.
You know, you should be their number one first mentor, not the Boys and Girls Club,
right.
not SEI, not anywhere else that mentors kids, and they do a phenomenal job.
Right.
But the main force is the parents in the household. That's the number one thing that kids are getting from. Everything else comes secondary. You know, the phone and the TV and their friends and all that other kind of stuff. So just making sure that your kids are tight at home, that you're teaching your kids the right things, and that they're seeing you doing the right things as well, because kids are very quick to copycat, you know, what they see, or, you know, because we all did that.
Yeah, right.
You know, we grew up in a culture where, you know, that's the norm.
Right.
You know, so, you know, just to break that cycle and to break that norm.
Yeah. I wanted to can I say this right quick?
Yeah.
David, I don't want to be a conversational bully. This is going to stand for another time, but I do want to, you know, insert this mindset. Okay, and first giving a shout out to my brothers that is on the yard, you know, in the prisons, man, from far it is, from the north to the south. These brothers, man, are very important, and especially to Mind Solution as well. And I failed to mention that in the beginning. But right now, let me recover from that, okay? These brothers are important, and I go in right now into the prison, okay? I'm just stationed here in Portland, going to Columbia River Correctional Facility, but I guarantee you the work that I do in there is magnificent in comparison, okay, to what has been done in the past for us. There's men who are, you know, that are labor ready in the sense of getting into the fight and making sure there is no return when they succeed.
Absolutely.
Okay, so I go in on a faith-based initiative, and another shout out that goes to some of the brothers I champion with going in as well. Eric Smith, who's a brother who I share life with, you know, go to the same church. We do the same work going inside the prisons, okay? And it's very important to go back in and notice what we were talking about earlier was about choices, right? Choices we make is based on the information that we have.
That's right.
The assimilation that was just mentioned, you know, the mirror that you were just talking about. Oftentimes, in the young black men who are, you know, usually under the guardianship of a mother too far into their teenage years and no father's there to rear and instruct and advise. So what we get to do is remind the men in there that they will be reconciled with their families. This is a hope that is not lost. This is the work that's being done diligently to make this happen. Okay, so my solutions is structuring a reconciliation bridge is what we call it. Okay, for these men to somehow attach, if there's some legal, you know, order that is separating them from their families, what we want to do is we want to go down there and talk to the legal part that's involved. Okay, if there's a social agency that's involved, DHS, we want to go talk to that social agency because we don't want to lose people to the system. Right. This brother Jermaine, he has done enormous amounts of work in the foster care business, and he has seen the atrocity of children being harmed and traumatized vicariously because they are somewhere they don't want to be. Okay, and the fathers are somewhere they don't want to be.
Right.
So how can we bring them back together? So we go down there, we start talking about family. Our prayer is that restore these men to the head of the table, because men, no matter what, are yet in a high profile way considered to be the strength of the family. Mm-hmm. We know women, they have strength too. And without that strength, the family can fall. Okay, but the strength is different. And we need to continue to stand on tradition in a way that continues to balance the family in a way so that everyone could be prosperous. Mm-hmm. You said prosperous. So just not to leave that out, okay? Because these men are being tended to by several laborers that's going in. These people, man, they love happiness. Right. They just in a sad situation.
Right.
And they love it when we come in there, man. I mean, they just almost can fall to their knees. Yeah. Not because we some special deity. It's just it's a simple fact, man. You came to look in on me, man.
That's right.
You came to see if I was okay.
Right.
You know what I mean? And they don't forget that. Because I didn't forget it, man.
Right.
Exactly. I didn't forget it.
Right.
Yeah.
And most people not stepping in like that. You know, a lot of people going without about their life and just kind of leave them behind, and you just kind of forget about them one day,
right,
until you see them on the street again,
right,
you know, if you ever do, you know. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, that's amazing that you do what they call those reach-ins.
Reach-ins.
And going there and connect. I just can't imagine how powerful that, you know, that is.
It has to be, because mm-hmm. you bring a certain level of empathy, understanding that fight, that situation from the ground level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's only so much training and stuff you can get from a book. And that's, you know, you can bring whatever from this book that you got and try to throw it on, but it's mm-hmm. never going to compare to a life lived, situation mm-hmm. lived, experience shared.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So I think that's what that's why it stands tall and stands out for people looking forward to that.
All right, and real quick, I want to make sure the listeners out there, if you want to call and, you know, tap in with Jason or, you know, with us, or give us any input, feedback, or experience relating to any of this stuff, man, feel free. We at 503-231-8187. That's 503-231-8187. So
I wanted to say about Brother Ken.
Ken.
You said Kev?
Ken.
Ken.
Oh, dang it. Oh, man.
You good.
Hey, I'm needing to be informed right now. Listen. So information is power, man. It's everything. An introduction, okay? And we well past that, so I should have remembered your name.
Okay.
All right, good. So I take accountability. I wanted to say that you said something important to me about people looking in the mirror.
Righteous.
Right? I wanted to not necessarily counter that, but I wanted to extend on some of the point that expresses. The mirror can be very dangerous, okay? You know, like, you know, women, you know, some women, I shouldn't say women generalizing, but I know some women that I've seen, they spend too much time in the mirror. And I've seen men spend equally too much time in the mirror.
Okay.
And I think we begin to find more flaws the longer we stay in the mirror. We begin to find blemishes in different spots that we begin to become distracted from, and we begin to wanting to reshape who we are. Okay, and this is the makeup that begins to happen because of dissatisfaction. So I do implore people to know who you are, but when you remove yourself from that mirror, hopefully you look the same as when you first got into the mirror. Because you're blessed and highly favored, made as you are, and I just believe that identity crisis is real in this country and in this world.
Mm.
And I had to recalibrate myself. Okay,
right.
It took a lot of men in my life to help in their demonstration of what that should look like for myself. Okay, I was told I would have many fathers, you know, because fathers are guiders and directors. They give you wisdom and they protect you. I've had many, okay? This was not a lie. And I continue to run into men who give me guidance, even some of my own age and even younger. Right. And they are yet men and they are fathers because of these attributes. And I'm yet teachable. So I just wanted to give that learning point about the mirror. Not to say that it's an extension of yours, but it's another side to the mirror issue that plagues a lot of people who have these crises.
Right.
I think I take in too with that, because that's a great point. I think, as we talked about this on a previous show too, with the idea of getting kind of your feedback from your people, right? Mm-hmm. And I think there's a lot of us that will be, have been in moments of like, that's not me, but consistently this is what the feedback is coming from everybody that's around me. You know what I mean? And at that point, it's like, you got to start looking here and starting to kind of take some of that. Not saying that that's who you build, but we do. We're our interaction, his experience, your experience, your experience. Mm-hmm. And it's like, if I leave this place and you guys got something similar as far as what you came to through the interactions, then that's the reality for you guys, right? Mm-hmm. Regardless of what I have in here and trying to come to an understanding of that. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to be able to get feedback from people that actually care.
That's right.
From people around you that you have some trust in, to be able to get that feedback and to be open to feedback that might contradict what you think of self. I think that's important. It's kind of challenging some of your own beliefs in yourself if it's not consistent with the feedback that you're getting from the people around you.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
I agree with that.
So I got a question, Jason. So the idea of this show is called Calculated Conversation.
Yes, sir.
It's, Calculated Conversation is actually a chapter in a book that I'm writing called Society College. The main goal I'm concerned with is the fact that most people just don't know what it's like to be other people. Also with, you know, a lot of the process of unlearning and challenging some of the things that, you know, we were raised to be comfortable with what's normal, you know, natural trends that we are brought into in our communities and societies, like challenging those. And what I mean by challenge is, you know, not doing away with everything, but constantly revisiting these ideals to make sure that they're consistent, you know, with who you plan to be and who you want and what mark you want to leave in this world. And if something's not conducive to that, let's get rid of it. So, and I like the mind solution, you know, that's why I'm a big fan. You never really told me exactly what it meant, but I'm assuming that, you know, a big part of your company is making sure that we can somehow, you know, support the minds of everyone and get them to go a little bit more into the definitions that they carry of themselves and love. So after all that, so my main question is this: what we know that's the challenge is how can we, you know, massage the minds into a more comfortable, you know, to be more comfortable with new ideals and changing things and challenging old ways. So what type of things do you think, because it's hard to do, first of all, you know, a lot of, you know, like we go through generations and generations and generations of people all doing and thinking the exact same thing, and they're living and they're dying and these philosophies aren't changing. So, and they're destructive. And so what type of things do you personally think would have to happen for these trends to, and I know family is one of them, you know, obviously that's what kind of your focus here, but what are a couple of other things you think that would need to happen for people to start thinking, wait, I need to change the way that I'm thinking. What I've been doing so far hasn't been working. I've reached no goals and I've reaped no benefits from my current mindset. Now I'm going to change it.
Okay.
And I want to change it for myself and my future, and I want to completely rewire, you know, my legacy.
Well, so that's a bag of tricks, David. That's a bag of tricks that we can't buy at the corner store, okay?
Right.
Life is, they say, you know, experience is the best teacher. I don't believe that, because in most people's experiences, they haven't learned anything but trauma and pain. So, you know, that conversation is a short conversation for me when we start talking about life experience. Mm-hmm. But if you can respond in a way that says, well, this is what I got from my experience.
Right.
Now we're talking about growth and development.
That's right.
We're talking about actually hearing your pain, the pain that fed you, the pain that rocked you to sleep, the pain that got, that caused you or drove you mm-hmm. to sell drugs or to be, you know, in a prolific way in your criminality, you know, but or an addiction, right. you know, the things that we bring service to. But I had given this scenario that was, well, this quote that was given, I'll give it again. This was previously to another group of people, but Howard Sherman, he had wrote a book called ESP, Extrasensory Perception. And I read this book over 14 years ago. And what was really striking for me was about this, he posed two questions to his students. And he asked, he said, because Portland, considering now just fast forwarding that it's a bike-friendly community, I would assume that most people know about the mechanics of bicycles. So the question he posed to the students was, if your bike broke down, would you have enough information or wherewithal of this issue to take it to a professional or an expert in order to get it fixed? And most of his students raised their hand. Said, yeah, I can get my bike. I can see the problem. But now he posed this question. If your brain began to break down, would you have enough wherewithal or an understanding or discernment that this is happening to your brain or your mind? Could you get it then to the professionals in mm-hmm. order to help somehow restore the mechanics there? I don't think we've mapped much of the brain. It's almost probably like the ocean, 5% maybe, I don't know. But at the same time, when we look into the science of that, it's very frightening because there's a lot of people who are, you know, in some type of matrix, and they believe that they're stepping into reality and are actually playing this role out right before our eyes in the homeless population, where they are continuously, you know, traumatized in their experience. And I don't believe anyone woke up one morning and said, I want to be in this mental health crisis, or I want to be in this addiction crisis. I want my brain broke. I want my mind so I can have some type of sympathy, or, you know, here's, let me get, you know, just in some type of pity me role. No, I don't think anybody wants to be in crisis. See, but I think that the philosophy that I'm going to offer is that just that of, you know, Mr. Sherman, because he made a point. He said, we have to be aware of ourselves just enough to know that when something's wrong, you see, we'll know it and we'll do something about it. But even more, our community have to be just as conscious and available in order to assist in restoring what has broken inside of us. But when we start talking about historical trauma, right, we're talking about then a community who has allowed these things to exist without approaching them in a manner of resolving them. So my solutions in this philosophy is saying that we have a solution, but you have to be available, reachable, in order for us to offer that solution.
Right.
Okay, so our philosophy is simple that way. And don't take a whole lot of work, but it takes a lot of love, and right. it takes a lot of patience, but it takes information too.
Yeah.
Right. You have to know how to do something. Don't put yourself in a leadership role if you don't know how to delegate.
Right.
You just don't do it. You tear everybody's life up.
Right.
You might even, let me get out of that, man.
Roughhousing.
Look.
One thing I want to make sure is that you guys, you know, we got some listeners out there, and so how can people get, how can they find you? How can they get involved? How can they support? How can they, you know, collaborate with you or network or just, you know, be there for you?
Okay, I'm going to say a little bit about that because we have another working side, because Jermaine has some strategy plans and speaking to my solutions and how it is going to do a lot of things. He's going to need to speak on that as well. But one of the things is that how people can communicate with us is just come to 3311 Northeast MLK. Step in. Invite yourself right on in. I mean, we're a welcoming agency, and we most definitely want a partnership with anybody who wants to get rid of this miserable condition of our people, black, white, otherwise, because my neighbor is white, okay? It's set as far as the cultural spectrum, I mean, the racial spectrum. But the thing is this, is that whatever happens in his home is going to affect me if it's bringing trauma or harm.
Exactly.
If his house is on fire, guess what? That's going to affect me. The smoke is going to affect me. The screams are going to affect me if it's directly, you know, if they're directly involved with that tragedy. You know, it's just going to affect me, and probably just as well as them, and right. and they losing more, but right. just because that's a neighbor,
right.
and my mind goes straight to, man, what if it jumps over to my house? You see, now we got more issues, and then, you know, more trauma. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we have to have a more global mentality around our approach to even exclusive issues. If it's an exclusive issue to black people, all people need to be involved
right.
to eliminate
exactly.
the miserable conditions of homelessness, overrepresented in the prison systems, you know, overrepresented in, you know, an unhealthy lifestyles,
right.
You know, disenfranchisement, you know, domestic violence. Of course, man, I don't think that is happening just there, but we see too often that this is all that's portrayed on TV.
Right.
The killings from police officers, you know, that mass murdering that's happening there, but that's happening in all cultures,
yeah.
you see? But my experience is the black experience.
Mm-hmm.
But what I get to do by working with other cultures is help fortify when I need the help.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I need to inform my neighbor, you see, that I got a fire extinguisher.
Mm-hmm.
If you ever need it, it's right here.
Mm-hmm.
We should be well prepared to assist and help one another.
Absolutely.
You see, and the only way we can do that, but I don't, and I was at a space where I was so pro-black where I blacked out
right.
because that's all I could see. But not knowing that I was capsulized,
right.
you know what I'm saying, and what that brought was a lot more harm, and pain, disconnect.
Yep.
I was unreachable. I was explosive. You see, and this is not a dilemma for the black man. This is a dilemma for the human family.
Right.
We cannot grow to any other direction but down because I'm holding myself down.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody else I connect with, I'm holding them down.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the influences that you're talking about. I'm down, then you down too. You see, Jermaine says all the time, he said, man, I just don't want to be around no negativity, man.
Mm-hmm.
Don't bring that to me at all.
Right.
You know, it's a terrible energy exchange.
Right.
True. You see, it's toxic.
If it's not about love, you know, if it's not about building, I don't want to hear about it. It's not in Mind Solutions at all. None right. of the staff is with that at all.
Yeah.
You know, we go on love. We're not here to judge. We're in the helping business. So whatever that looks like, you know, come on down. You know, we would love to see the community there. We're constantly changing, constantly evolving. We have innovative people. Jason is putting together a formula for the brothers in jail called Game Time. It's going to be a game changer. I got a lot of people that work at Mind Solutions that are very creative.
And might I add, the office is plush, man.
Man, thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah. It's state of the art. It's nice in there.
I appreciate it.
And it's roomy,
man.
And it's comfortable, man.
I appreciate it. Yeah, yeah. We just want people to feel that love. You know, when they get in the room. You
right.
know, when they get there, they just know that. You know, as long as they're ready to do the work. You know, it's gonna be a beautiful thing.
Right.
You know, just, you know, we're not about that blame game,
mm-hmm.
blaming people for our problems
right.
or what we
right.
got going
right.
on. You know,
this is the real growth right here.
Yeah,
man.
This is
real growth.
But mm-hmm. it's hard because, you know, that's that mirror thing, you know, that you were talking about where, you know, people have to really, you know, look at themselves in the mirror and really say, like, you know, am I ready to do the work?
Right.
And now, you know, hold yourself accountable
right.
for the wrongs that you've done.
Right.
And with me, you know, Dave, you know, like you said, you know, me and you have past and things like that.
Yeah.
It's important for me as a man first to say, you know, I'm changing myself. I'm changing my life.
Right.
If I've done anybody wrong, you know, I apologize to them. You know, I truly apologize. I wasn't in the right state of mind.
Right.
You know, and if anybody did anything to me, I have to give them that shot the same way. You know, like, you know, if I want forgiveness, you know, I have to be able to forgive somebody else that did me wrong.
Absolutely.
You know, so it's all about that, and that's a hard thing to do.
Yeah.
You know, especially the way we live out here, man. It's a lot of bad things that happen to you that it's hard to forgive or forget. But in order for that inner peace, you have to do that.
Right.
Or it's just gonna turn into anger, and it's gonna be all downhill after that.
Right. And you know, and also, you know, we got this stigma, I believe, in society that accountability shows weakness. You know, and a lot of people try to stay away from that as much as possible because they don't want to seem like they're showing where they're weak at.
Yes.
And society holding back the true information that accountability is a very powerful display of strength, you know, and growth, you know, and sees the growth, you know, and the whole idea about love. And, you know, when I look back at society and I look at the one thing I think that's really, really holding us back is the absence of love, you know, and changing the definition of it.
Right.
Because we would do everything that we do different if it was a little bit of love involved. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We would talk to people different. We would listen a little bit more.
Right.
We would be a little bit more empathetic.
Right.
A little bit more accountable.
Right.
A little more concerned. A little more considerate. You know,
and you know, so David, respectfully interjecting, because I don't want you to move too far away from this piece, because one thing about love, it is taught. It's a taught behavior. You know, we're influenced by our environments, okay? This is culture, okay? We're influenced by the people that we're brought up with, and in some places, the demonstration of love, you know, is a hug. Some is, you know, a handshake. Some is a kiss on both cheeks. And, you know, you see some stuff from different countries, man, and find it in the American culture as generalization and saying that's weird, you see? And, man, but it's not, you know, because we don't have that experience. That's not our culture, so we just don't have an understanding.
Of course.
But one thing being brought up, when we start looking at the nucleus of the family, we start looking at a legal system, okay? You got father, mother, auntie, you know, and so in this legal system that's teaching the young man, okay? Teaching your young child. And guess what? Sometimes those lessons are very destructive.
Absolutely.
You see, and because they have learned in their legal system the same thing, so it becomes a tradition for a family. If somebody, you know, says a bad word to you, guess what you do? You knuckle up.
Right.
But
right.
even more, you begin to...
2 minutes.
Yeah, you begin to fight against yourself, okay, and restructuring things, and that's what got me in prison. Not saying that it was my family influence, but it was the gang influence.
Of course,
you see, the gang influence got me 17 and a half years in the penitentiary, cumulatively on two different stints.
Okay.
I'm 46 now. You see, you do the math on that, okay?
Yeah, you look young, bro.
Well, I thank God for it. God for it. That's that spirit.
But yeah, we down to about another 2 minutes, man. Y'all got any special shout outs? I know you shouted your people out, but anybody else that supports y'all, that's been there, that you want to inspire, you know, just...
Man, I just want to thank you, brothers, for, man, and just inviting us down here, man. I appreciate the love. I mean, you know, just... what, SEI has showed us love. Who else? Urban League has showed us love.
Oh, yeah. Millennium Health.
Yeah, the organization that you work for, David, as well.
Yeah,
you know, has showed us love as well. Just everyone that's showing us love. And if you want to come down to Mind Solutions and put in the work, come on down, 3311 MLK Suite 104.
The website up yet?
The website will be up tomorrow.
Okay, perfect.
Yes, tomorrow. Yeah. You can email us at...
whichever one of our emails, just the first name at Mind Solutions USA. Mind Solutions with the S, USA.
Jason Jermaine. Nelson at Mind Solutions.
No, Jason, just our first name, Jason or Jermaine at Mind Solutions with an S, USA.com. I want to give a shout out because I didn't fail to mention, but I knew it was going to come up. Just giving a shout out to all the staff at Mind Solutions, Jamaica, Monty Nelson, Sherilyn, Blayton, you know, help me out.
Marty Bazell, Samuel Shriner,
just the whole shebang, man.
All right.
Family and love. That's what we're going to do.
With that said, we out. Mind Solutions. See you next Tuesday.
I'm expressing with my full capabilities, and now I'm living in correctional facilities. Cause some don't agree with how I do this. I get straight and meditate like a Buddhist. I'm dropping flavor, my behavior is hereditary, but my technique is very necessary. Blame it on Ice Cube, because he said it get funky when you got a subject and a predicate. Add it on a dope beat and it'll make you think. Some suckers just tickle me pink to my stomach, cause they don't flow like this one. You know what, I won't hesitate to diss one or two before I'm through, so don't try to sing this. Some drop science, well I'm dropping English, even if Yella makes it a cappella. I still express yo, I don't smoke weed or sex, cause it's known to give a brother brain damage, and brain damage on the mic don't manage nothing but making a sucker in you equal. Don't be another sequel. Spread yourself. The pop chart. So where should a brother like you start expressing yourself, my boy, and show you how your track?
What up?
Drop English right about now. Getting back to the PG, that's program, and it's easy. Dre is back, new jacks are made hollow. Expressing ain't the subject because they like to follow the words, the style, the trend. The records are spinning again and again and again. Yo, you're on the other end. Watch a brother blend dope rhymes with no help. There's no fessing or guessing while I'm expressing myself. It's crazy to see people be what society wants them to be, but not me. Ruthless is the way to go, they know. Others say rhymes which fail to be original, or they kill where the hip-hop starts. Forget about the ghetto and rap for the pop chart.
This is KBOO Portland.
Got the club going up on a Tuesday. Got your girl in the cut and she choose. A club going up on a Tuesday. Got your girl in the cut and she choose. A club going up on a Tuesday. Got your girl in the cut and she choose. A club going up on a Tuesday. Got your girl in the cut and she choose. A club going up.